Welcome to True Crime 101 with Murder Friends, the podcast where three friends from three different countries talk murder. My name is Alana and I'm Canadian.
I'm Anna and I'm American.
My name's Hannah and I'm British.
In addition to our longer episodes, True Crime 101 talks you through key true crime cases and theories. So I was having a peruse through some Canadian crimes and I just was so bored. So we are going to France for this episode, and I am really sorry about all of the pronunciations. My palms are already clammy because I know it's going to be embarrassing. I don't know why I've done this to myself because nobody told me to do this, but I did it anyway.
You just have to say them with conviction. Say it like you mean confidence. It, and then don't correct yourself.
Yeah.
Originally, I was looking at crimes in Japan, and that was more embarrassing.
Yeah.
So we're gonna start with France, and maybe if I'm more confident next time, we will do Japan, but it's unlikely.
Sorry, Japan.
Sorry.
And Russia.
Oh,
Yeah.
So lately we've been doing a lot of murder mysteries, and I thought I would try and find something that was a little bit different. So this particular crime is mid-90s, so not too old. And I'm not sure if if either of you have heard of Eric Borrell.
No.
Because I hadn't.
No.
Okay. So Eric Borrell was born in December 1978. He was the son of Marie-Jeanne Parenti and Jacques Jackie Borrell, who were both working in the military when he was born. However, they quickly separated, and Eric was sent to live with Jackie's parents and stayed, you know, with his grandparents until he was about five. His mom would visit occasionally, and when she was living with a man named Yves Bichette, she again decided to take care of Eric, much to his dislike. I think he was pretty settled with his grandparents, but she decided he was going to come live with her and her new partner and took them to their home. From certain accounts, Eric's mother comes across as extremely strict, and at least outwardly, she had this very like religious persona and very much like an activist. But there, underneath that, there are stories that she was allegedly mistreating Eric, allegedly beating him. She believed him to be like a child of sin sort of situation. Now, unfortunately, Eric not only had like kind of a shit mom, he didn't really develop any sort of close relationship to his mother's new partner either. There are also reports that they got in fights, that Eric was reportedly beaten on different occasions. However, Yves's other sons, his like biological sons, stated that their father had always been nice to Eric, that the father even built Eric a shack in the back garden for Eric's chickens. Like, he took care of chickens and he had animals, and the father built him this shack. So it's kind of hard to say. I mean, both could happen at the same time, really. When Eric broke his arm at 8 years old, rather than go home, he actually ran away, and he wasn't found till much later and was just in absolute agony. So it was kind of like he really didn't want to bother people. He didn't want to bother his parents or his mother and his stepfather. He was very quiet. He kept to himself. Like I mentioned, he had chickens that he used to take care of and tend to in his free time. But as he grew up, he developed an increasing sort of admiration for the military. He started telling lies about heroic deeds of his father during the war, and he would just adore his stepbrother, who also served in the army. He had an interest in weapons and started to shoot sparrows with an air gun, which is such a divide from being really caring for his chickens and then shooting birds, you know? Eric attended school and he was doing quite well academically. He was said to be disciplined, although a quiet student. But again, there was a change. And in the last year of school, he started showing more radical changes in his behavior. He started skipping class without permission. He started talking that he couldn't bear it at home anymore. And just, he didn't want to do housework. He didn't like being called names. He wanted to just like go off and join the military like his biological father and grandfather. And they talk about this in a couple articles that he potentially may have not said something about committing suicide, but not before taking people with him. And I guess, what do you do with that information? Well, nobody didn't do anything with it. Eric had a single friend, Alan, who is the same age as Eric, so they're both about 17, and they're classmates. Whereas Alan was very outgoing, had lots of friends, very popular, and Eric obviously was very quiet, but the two seemed to hang out a lot after school. Now, there's this article, there's not a whole lot about this story, but there was an article talking about that his room at home. And the article writes, besides a picture of Adolf Hitler cut out from a newspaper, graffiti displaying a swastika on his door, and a few books regarding World War II, as well as a documentary about David Koresh and the Waco siege, no evidence was found that he was interested in any kind of politics.
Yeah, but they're like what? big red flags, right? They're not like little tiny things. They're big things.
They're massive. Like
the swastika is probably the most troubling.
Yeah.
Yeah, and how many people have a photo of Hitler in their bedroom? Isn't that enough?
It's like everyone, a bad. Right?
Besides,
like a bad sign.
Besides
that, he was fine.
He only shot sparrows with an air gun. He's fine.
He's totally fine.
So on September 23rd, 1995, at 17 years old, Eric has had enough. There's no real evidence of motive, or at least there's evidence of motive, but no one will actually come out and say this is why this happened. It happened. And he first started with killing his stepfather. So in the kitchen, he shot his stepfather 4 times with a .22 caliber rifle and then attacked him with a hammer. Police assumed that they had some kind of fight beforehand and maybe triggered something. But again, who's to know? Afterwards, and this like fucking killed me, Eric assaulted his half-brother who lived in the house, 11-year-old Jean Yves, who was watching TV, in a similar manner. So he first shot him with the rifle and then attacked him with a hammer. Rather than stop there, Eric then cleans up as best as he can and he waits for his mom to come home. As soon as his mom arrives home from church at 8:30 p.m., which I didn't realize people go to church at night. Anyway, Eric...
I didn't get that. Could you try again?
I am so sorry. I don't know why... okay. So as soon as the mom arrives home, Eric kills her as well with a single shot to the head. In contrast to her husband and the son, there's no blunt force used on her, although there are conflicting reports that he might have attacked her as well, but it's really kind of hard to say. When his mother is dead, Eric once again starts to clean up and he covers the body with sheets and he closes all the shutters in the home. Then carrying a bag packed with food, money, a raincoat, a map, and a pistol shooting rubber bullets, plus his father's rifle and pockets full of ammunition, he makes his way towards a nearby town. Now, at first this was by car, but apparently he crashes the car and then gets out and carries on by foot. So the bodies of the murdered family were found at around 1 a.m. when Yves' son came home from school. He doesn't live at the house, obviously, but he would visit occasionally. And at that point, he discovers the family, which I can't even imagine. And at that point, the police are notified. But of course, they don't know who did it. Eric's not there. Eric could be a victim. We don't know. So everybody's just a little bit confused. And obviously, attacks like that don't happen very often. Now, the following day, at 7:15, Eric arrives at the home of his only friend, Alan. And when Alan's mother opens the door, Eric asks her to go wake up Alan. I need to speak with him. The two had a lengthy discussion in the garden, and apparently Eric wanted something from Alan, but then when Alan declines and turns to go back in the house, Eric shoots him in the back, mortally wounding him. He would have also been 17 at the time. So from 7:30 a.m. onwards, at this point, Eric is just shooting at random. There's no rhyme or reason. You can maybe see emotional connections to the first victims, you know, his family, his friends. But at this point, it's just kind of like whoever happens to be outside, which I think is so fucking eerie and just terrifying. And unfortunately, nobody was really suspicious of his rifle because it was hunting season. And so the sight of rifles outside was not unexpected. People just didn't even notice until, you know, it was too late. I did read that France has pretty tight gun control laws for handguns, but not for hunting rifles, which can be purchased by anyone with a hunting license. Minors require parental permission. So I kind of assume that it's similar to Canada. You know, handguns are not really a thing, but hunting rifles, you know, I know people who have hunting rifles and, you know, they go up north and hunt with their family and that kind of stuff. So at this point, 7:30 onwards, Eric first shoots at Jeanette Villette through an open window, mortally wounding her, as well as Denise Otto, whom he killed while she was bringing out the trash. He also hit Denise's husband, Jean, in the shoulder. Eric injured an elderly woman who was just walking in the streets with her husband and shot and wounded two brothers who just happened to be crossing in front of Eric. He shot at Rodolphe Incorvala, once again, through an open window, and the injuries were eventually lethal. He later died in hospital. Eric then crossed the street to shoot and kill shopkeeper Mario Pagniti, who was out buying a newspaper, as well as Moroccan Mohamed Marad, who was just in front of a cafe. Marius Boudon and André Tourette were killed while they were drawing money from an ATM, and André Coletta while she was taking her poodle for a walk. Finally, Eric shot Pascal Mutaski to death. So this brings us to 8 a.m. It's been 30 minutes. And the police arrive at the scene. So I guess realizing that the police were there and he was being approached, Eric committed suicide in front of a school by shooting himself. One of the things that got me when I was reading about this was that, I mean, obviously he's very young. I mean, he's a child. But the fact that there were lots of reports that observers stated that he was very calm during the shooting. He took really great care at aiming, hitting most of his victims in the head, and he would return if he didn't hit properly the first time. At first, people thought he was shooting pigeons because he was just so casual, just walking about like he was supposed to be there. In total, Eric fired about 40 shots, killing 13 people. A month later, one of the victims died in hospital from injuries sustaining from the shooting, bringing the death toll to 14. And then months after that, another man succumbed to his wounds, bringing the death toll to 15. Eric's shooting spree through the streets was the deadliest act of mass murder in France since the previous spree by Christian Dornier, who killed 14 people about 6 years prior to that. Another young boy as well. In all the articles I read, they don't explicitly say what the motive was or why this happened. It could be that Eric was truly abused at home and snapped. It could be some level of a mental illness. It could be a combination of a lot of things. But I think, too, what was quite shocking is it takes a lot to murder your whole family, obviously, and then to continue on to murder strangers. But what got me too was that he murders his family in the evening, right? Like 8:30-ish, whatever. And he goes all night until the next day without changing his mind. You know, it wasn't like you're in the moment and your stepfather is fighting with you and you shoot him. It was you killed your family and waited so long till the next day to then start that random shooting spree at 8 a.m. the next day without changing your mind, which just like...
Or killing yourself then? Like, he must have known he was going to take his own life. And then he was just like, well, rather than just killing my family and doing it, I'm going to wait. And then it's like, we talked about it with, is it John List? Hannah, the one he did?
Mm-hmm.
When he just like sat there all night and like made a sandwich.
No, he went to bed.
He went to sleep.
Literally, yeah, he went to sleep. Yeah.
He's like, best night of sleep I've had in a long time. Didn't he say that?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm like...
And then the next day he just disappears. Mm.
But, like, yeah, that is incredible.
Yeah, so that is the story of Eric Borel and his mass shooting spree in the 90s in France. I just thought it's obviously deeply upsetting, and there are so many victims, and the eeriness of, like, taking the trash out and getting shot in a small town, or walking your poodle, you know, or going to the post office or whatever. Just, like, the randomness of it is so...
They're, like, normal, everyday tasks that you do without boring thinking ones. About. Yeah. I'd be really annoyed because, do you know when you die, your ghost wears the clothes that you wear for eternity? And whenever I put the bins out, I just dress like an absolute slob. I've got, like, socks and sandals on and, like, leggings.
Crocs.
And, like, yeah. I'm not that bad. It's, like, a really old ratty jumper, so I'd be really annoyed.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't even wear my own shoes when I take the rubbish out. I put my partner's, because he's got big slip-on shoes, so I can just, like, slip. But then I'm walking like a clown because I can't grip the bottoms of them.
Ghost will walk forever.
Oh, God. Yeah, nobody looks nice taking out the trash, so, at all. That's, like, it's interesting that whole, the psychology behind those type of crimes, because it's, like, there's nothing they're gaining. It's the same with, like, when you have the school shootings, like, the mass school shootings and stuff, and then especially ultimately if they choose to take their own life after as well, or before they're apprehended or something, and it's, like, especially at that age, like, what is it? Is it something that does, like, snap inside of them to cause them to do that, as opposed to just somebody who, you know, is, like, wants to get rid of their, you know, doesn't want to, would rather kill their wife and get a divorce, or... Like a serial killer who gets actual pleasure from it. Like, that just must be, like, a whole nother... Do you know, Hannah? Did you learn about that type of, like, killers in your course or anything?
No.
Okay.
No. No, not really. I just think it's terrifying that he was 17 years old.
Yeah.
That's so young just to... I can understand him snapping and, say, like, beating his stepfather to death with a hammer. Mm. But like you said, like, to shoot him four times and then attack him with a hammer, that shows some level of hurt. I think that's the right word there. And then to kill his younger brother in a similar fashion. But then when it came to shooting his mother, it was just like one shot.
Yeah.
I think that must mean something. And then I think he must have thought afterwards, this is pure speculation, he must have thought something like, oh, well, I've killed my family and I want to take other people with me, so I'll just go out and do it. That's terrifying.
Mm. Mm.
It shows a level of disconnect between right and wrong.
Yeah, definitely.
In general. It's awful.
Oh, yeah. Because it's not just, like you're saying, it's not just a in the moment, a passion, you're in a fight, you know, someone who has potentially hurt you or harmed you over the years, you know, and fighting back. It's another thing to then walk all night into the next morning to get to a new place to then shoot people you've never seen before and everything. Just, yeah, I thought it was very eerie and a different type of story than we've done recently, because it's obviously quite obvious what happened. But that's the story of Eric Borel.
Well, thank you for listening. I think that's all we have for today's episode. You can find Alana's sources on our website, murderfriends.com. You can email us with any sort of suggestions, murderfriendspod@gmail.com, or follow us on Twitter, murderfriendspd, or on Instagram, murderfriendspod. And we'll see you next time.
Bye. Bye.